Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts, as Pastor Jim Rennie continues to faithfully challenge and encourage us in the Word. And it is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome to the First Baptist Church in Western Massachusetts, here in Coleraine, a little bitty village without one traffic light. We're going to continue. It's been a while because we've had Easter, quite a number of Easter messages. And now we're getting back and studying the book of 1 Peter. There's a Bible in the pew. If you didn't bring one, you can see the number 1888, not 666. 1 Peter chapter 2. And the heading is Submission to Rulers and Masters. We're going to be reading from verse 13 where we left off from the previous sermon on the same subject. Submit yourselves to the Lord's sake, for every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors, who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men. Do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, honor the king. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you as an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate when he suffered. He made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. May God give us a blessing this morning from his word. Amen. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Father, we are so grateful for another day. Thankful for the good health that we can enjoy in order to be here, those that are listening, wherever you may be watching. We appreciate that, and we pray that we'll all receive a blessing this morning to be built up in the faith, to love you more, to serve you better. And may your word go forth to save souls that are lost. Help us to concentrate, be tuned in. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of the message today, should we submit to authority? Should we submit to authority? You know, Peter had to write this letter for many, many reasons. And one of the reasons was to correct some of the Christians there that assumed they didn't have to obey those in authority. So Peter had to inform his readers that it was God who appointed these leaders, those in leadership, And those believers were obligated to obey the laws of the land. Verse 15 says, "It is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people." We are, as Christians, we are to be good examples to all kinds of people. When he talks about foolish and ignorant, these people, they don't have insight. It doesn't mean that they're stupid. They just don't have insight and the knowledge of God, because they're not born again. They're not spirit-filled. As 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 says, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So they're ignorant of the Word of God. This is why they need to be born again, enlightened, because Spirit reads Spirit. That's why people don't understand the Bible, because they don't have the Holy Spirit living in them. So they were persecuted tremendously, more so than we can imagine in our day. And they were falsely accused. They were persecuted. They were lied about. People can do that today and do that against us. You probably experienced that yourself. You've been accused. You've been falsely accused. You may have been persecuted because of your faith in Christ. And people have lied about us through one reason or another. How are we to respond to them? Well, the same way as Jesus did. Not to treat them the way they treat us, or to retaliate at such injustices. This is what we be reminded of what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. I didn't want to read the whole thing. We don't have time for that. "Blessed are those who," this is what Jesus said, "blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." So don't be surprised when people insult you and persecute you. They're not insulting and persecuting you. They're insulting and persecuting Christ who lives in you. Amen? Remember that. Don't take it personally. However, you know, we can take that talking about turning the other cheek, but that doesn't mean we'd be a fool not to try to defend ourselves. You know? If someone attacks you, then you're quite justified in defending yourself if attacked, whether you or your family members or a little old lady walking across the street, whatever the case. My dad did that on a park one day back in Scotland, in Glasgow. My dad was a pretty tough guy, and he saw this fella, husband, beating his wife up. And there was a lot of that going on, because there's a lot of drunkenness back in the day, probably still is, more so back then. And he was beating his wife, and my dad stepped in, took care of the husband, and then his wife got her handbag, swung it round, and knocked my dad's teeth out. So that was the thanks he got for being Sir Galahad. Keep out of it. That's between them, right? Anyway, thanks a lot. So he could never chew food anymore until he got some false teeth. Anyway, we know that Jesus was very different, absolutely unique. He was a perfect role model. He never retaliated, did he, after suffering at the hands of his enemies? He could have done. He could have called out for legions of angels to defend him. He could have done that, no problem. And it says there in verse, Peter reminds us, "Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. So, you know, God repays those that what you reap is what you sow. And God is the righteous judge, and he'll take care of those. He says, live as free people, verse 16. Do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. See, we know better. We've got more knowledge. We have no excuses. Live as God's slaves. Before we became Christians, we didn't have the power. We had willpower, but we didn't have the Holy Spirit power to resist temptation, any kind of temptation, and even the temptation to get even when we were offended, because that comes naturally, to try to get even against those that offended us. We were held in bondage. We were slaves, held in bondage by Satan, who controlled our minds, the god of this world, and we didn't even know it. We were totally deceived. And it says in verse 20, you were like sheep gone astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseers of your soul. Jesus is the good shepherd anyway. And we are his sheep. We're part of his flock. Thank God that we are. We're not goats, we're sheep. All right? You're either a goat or you're a sheep. I'm glad I'm a sheep. Once I was a goat. Not an old goat. No comments. So now, having received Jesus as our Savior, we do. We have the power to resist temptation. We have the power to resist the temptation to retaliate, to get even when we are unjustly accused. Have you ever been unjustly accused? People say things about you that are untrue in order, you know, to make you look bad. We've experienced that, Denise and I. Won't go into details. You probably have too. Now, though, we don't have to retaliate. We are free to make godly choices, just like Jesus said. If the Son of Man sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. When a person becomes a Christian, there's a change in their life. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And there's also a change in their attitude towards others. Consequently, society in general is a much better, safer place to live in due to the influence of law-abiding Christians. Amen? And one of these days, the rapture is going to go and we're going to be taken out and, excuse the expression, all hell is going to break loose. All right? Law-abiding Christians, that's what we are. And the world is a much safer place to live in as a result of that, the difference that Jesus has made in our lives. And he, you know, just reminds people there, he said, love the brotherhood. I'm sure we don't need to be reminded that we ought to love one another. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. We ought to love one another, love God, love our neighbors as ourselves. Love the brotherhood. Love Christians. He says, show proper respect to everyone. Not just for believers, but to everybody. That's the right and proper thing to do. Be respectful to all kinds of people. Not just believers. And when we do this, we demonstrate to the non-Christians, the unbelievers, the difference that Jesus has made in our lives. If we treat people with respect. Amen? Jesus said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds, your good works, and then glorify your Father which is in heaven. See? Let your light shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. And God receives the glory. And Paul Peter carries on. He says, "Fear God." Fear God. What does that mean? You've got to, you know, be careful. He's going to strike us down when we sin. He's going to give us a bolt of lightning, going to come down and zap us. Does that mean what it means to fear God? Well, he could do that. Hopefully he won't. To fear God is to hold him in high esteem, to respect him. How do we do that? By putting into practice what the Bible teaches. Holiness. Holiness. And we can't live a holy life unless we are spirit-filled each and every day. Thankfully, Christians don't have to fear God's punishment for our sins, because those sins were nailed to the cross when Jesus paid the penalty in our place when he was crucified, so we could be healed from the disease, the sickness called sin. It says that in verse 24. Live for righteousness, holiness, that we just talked about. By his wounds you were healed. And he's talking about healed spiritually. All right? And a lot of people, preachers, will say, well, by Jesus' stripes you were healed, so you're automatically going to be healed from your sickness. He's not referring to that. He's not talking about that. Yes, sometimes he does that. But he's talking about when we were healed from the sickness of sin. All right? You with me so far? Okay. Good. So fear God. Hold him in reverence and respect. We don't have to fear him as believers. We don't have to fear the punishment for our sins. Jesus took care of that on the cross. He said in John chapter 3, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. So you do you believe in the Son? Do you believe in the Son, that he died for you on the cross? That he was buried, that he rose again? Then you have eternal life. So there's no need to fear God's retribution for the sins that we've committed that condemns people to hell. And that's the condition that the unbelievers are in. So they ought to fear God. In Romans chapter 1:18, it says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. So unless your sins are forgiven, the wrath of God abides on you. So you ought to fear God. This is why it's so imperative. The most important thing a person could ever do is to receive the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ, as your Savior, so you can be forgiven of your sins and have them completely washed away as far as the east is from the west. My question is, have you received the Son of Righteousness? Have you called upon Christ to save you from your sins? Have you acknowledged before him that you're a sinner and that you need him, the one that died for you on the cross and suffered and died in your place so you wouldn't have to bear the punishment that you deserve? We all deserve hell. And this is why God sent his Son, because we don't have to go there. He doesn't want us to go there, and we don't have to go there now. One time we were on the broad road that leads to destruction. Now we're on the narrow road that leads to everlasting life. Thank God. Should have a word of praise for that. Shout of praise. Well, that's okay. I don't know what that is on the Richter scale, but it's like minus one, you know. When this letter was written, You know, those Christians would suffer tremendous persecution. They were suffering greatly. They were hated. I mean, many people in our day hate Christians too. And they were suffering tremendous persecution. Christ haters, including those in government positions, the leaders, whether it be religious or civil. So these believers that Peter is writing to, they didn't respect those in authority, rightly so, in a way, because they were suffering so much persecution. And they didn't want to submit to those heathen leaders like the Roman Emperor Nero, who despised Christians and his followers. He despised Jesus and his followers. But what does Peter tell them to do? He says, honor the emperor. Who was the emperor? Nero, crazy Nero. Even though he was evil, wicked, and blamed Christians for everything and anything bad that happened, including a devastating fire that almost demolished the city of Rome. And he blamed the Christians for that back in AD 64. And as a result of that, many Christians were even more persecuted, rounded up, tortured, threatened, killed, and many were burned alive. This is during the time when Peter wrote this letter. But then Peter says, honor the emperor. So that was back then in history. What about us now? What about practically? How do we live in 2024? You know, because we know that many politicians, frankly, are evil. And they are vehemently opposed to Jesus, Christians, and the Bible. You can look at their policies, like abortion, for instance, the murder of innocent babies. It's evil. It's wicked. And they support it. It's just wrong. So how should we submit to their authority, even if we don't like them or agree with them? What are we to do? Listen to the Apostle Paul, Romans 13, 1 through 7. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. For there is no authority except from God. Those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who oppose will receive condemnation upon themselves. So basically what he's saying is, don't break the law. Abide by the laws of the land. In this letter, Peter is not suggesting that it's going to be easy for those Christians living in those perilous times, many of whom were enslaved because of their faith and unjustly mistreated. How were they to respond to that? Of their wicked taskmasters that abused them, who had authority over them. He tells us, slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. So regardless of whether they treated you well or mistreated you, those slaves were to submit to their masters in order to retain a good Christian testimony, to win those slave masters to Christ. And he said that was their calling. That's why they were put under submission, to suffer. They were put there to suffer in order to win those masters to Christ. And don't forget, you are to submit, those of you who do work, you are to submit to your employers, whether you like them or not. You work as a testimony that you are a Christian. Don't slough off. Don't try to rob your employer from the time that's been allotted to serve. You be a testimony for Christ in order to be an example to those employers, in order to win them to Christ. So there's something different about so-and-so, and I know what it is. They're Christians, and the others that are lazy are not. I'm not saying they all are, but some are, and they can get away with it if they can. There's something different about those people, and they work harder than anybody else. And why is that? Because they're submitting to their employer. They're not ripping them off. And it says that about these slaves as well. So, I'm not in a hurry this morning. I know those seats are not very comfortable. I wish we could have more comfortable cushions. You know, I haven't got much padding back here, and there's a little bit of padding on these pews, but it's not very much, is it? And we had Pastor Renzo here on when was it? Good Friday. And I was sitting over there after about 20 minutes. Wish I'd have had that cushion, one of Sarah's cushions. I could have sat on that. My buns were roasting. So anyway, bear with me. All right, bring a cushion next time. Those of you that don't have a lot of padding. All right, bear with me. Suffer for Jesus. Okay, so the Bible clearly supports keeping the laws of the land. And Rick, you can cut all that out. I don't mind. He can edit all this. We are to submit to the laws of the land. We are to keep the laws of the land and submit to those in authority. But, is the rub, but it also teaches, the Bible also teaches, that if those laws violate a Christian's conscience and goes against God's laws, that's another story. In fact, there are many examples in Scripture to support opposition from believers to wicked governments that violated God's laws. And here's just a few. Exodus chapter 1. The Egyptian Pharaoh, he gave the command to the Hebrew midwives to murder newborn Egyptian boys. But that violated God's law. So the midwives disobeyed Pharaoh because they feared God more than him. There's one example. Joshua chapter 2. A woman called Rahab, a Gentile, disobeyed the command from the king of Jericho to inform on any Israelite spy who were hiding out in the city. It was a command from the king. It was a mandate. What did she do? She gave the spies shelter. She protected them and allowed them to escape down the city walls on a rope. Remember that? You read that? Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego disobeyed King Nebuchadnezzar's command to bow down to a golden idol which was 90 feet high. If they didn't bow down to it, they would be put to death. So what did Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego, Daniel, they didn't obey King Nebuchadnezzar's command. Again, Daniel chapter 6, he, Daniel, defied King Darius's decree not to pray to anyone other than the king for fear of death. In both cases, God rescued his people from the death penalty that was imposed, approving of those believers who stood against wicked leaders in government. Jesus himself defied the laws of the religious leaders of the day and healed on the they told him the law is do not heal on the Sabbath day. But Jesus did heal on the Sabbath day. He defied them and he broke their laws. In the book of Acts, chapter 5, it records civil disobedience by the guy who wrote this book, this letter, Peter himself. Peter and John defied those authorities. They were arrested for preaching about Jesus and they were put in jail. They were threatened not to preach Christ Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judge. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." And after further threats, they let them go. Later, the rulers confronted the apostles again and commanded them not to teach about Jesus. But Peter responded, "We must obey God rather than men." Another example of civil disobedience against the governing authority is found in the prophetic book of Revelation. This is future events. When, in the future, a wicked world dictator called the Antichrist will reign during the end times and exact a law for everyone to worship his image. And the Apostle John writes that those who become Christians during the tribulation period will disobey the Antichrist and his government by refusing to worship the image of the beast. And they will suffer the death penalty for their rebellion. You read that in Revelation chapter 13. They will be beheaded. They will refuse to bow down and worship the beast. So let me close. Let me ask the question again. Should we submit to authority? Yes, we are commanded to submit to those in authority and obey the laws of the land. True. Thankfully, we have the right and permission to vote. And you know that some of these people are griping about the government and griping about this and griping about that person, and they don't even bother voting. Some people can't for one reason or other. Some people do, but they're too lazy to go vote. And they complain. So they've got nothing to complain about if they don't vote. Thank you. And exercise their rights. We don't have many, but that's one of them. And they don't even use that. We have the right to vote to install new government leaders within those laws that already exist. However, Christians should resist a government that commands or compels evil. And we should work hard, yet non-violently, within the laws of the land to change a government that permits evil. So, what have we learned today? There is scriptural evidence that believers have disobeyed wicked leaders in government. So when should this resistance take place? Civil resistance is permitted when a government's laws or demands are in direct violation of God's laws and commands. I'll repeat. I hope they don't lock me up in jail after they hear this. That's okay, I don't mind. Go ahead. Civil resistance is permitted when a government's laws or demands are in direct violation of God's laws and commands. However, if Christians do rebel against an evil government through civil disobedience to their policies, they should expect that government to punish them if they get caught. So don't get caught. What have we learned today? The scriptures do teach that believers be allowed to act in civil disobedience to a government if it commands evil. And that requires them to act in a manner that is contrary to the clear teaching of God's word. So let's hope that it doesn't come to that in our lifetime. But it might. And according to Bible prophecy, predicts that one day it will. And it may come a lot sooner than we anticipate. Amen? You've got to be ready. Got to be ready. But we need to keep praying for these evil politicians. But it's God who put them in there, in those positions, for a reason. Maybe we're being judged. We're getting what we deserve. And God is not going to turn a blind eye to the evil policies that they promote, like the murder of innocent babies. He's not going to allow it. It's wicked. It's evil. And it's wrong. It's close. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We pray we'll take it in and absorb everything that we've learned. And help us to be ready to make a stand for what's right. And we hope and pray that you would not pass us by, that you would raise up Christians in government, raise Christians in the White House and in Congress and all other government institutions. And may there be a spiritual awakening in this country. And we hope and pray that it's not too late. But we believe your word, and we know it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better, and when you return to set up your kingdom and rule and reign with a rod of iron in righteousness, where there'll be no crime and injustice. So in the meantime, help us to make a stand and do what we can to be a good testimony to our employers, our workmates, our fellow believers, and anybody else that we come into contact with. And let me assure you, those address you that are unsaved, you need to have your sins forgiven so you don't have to face judgment. You don't have to go to hell. And this is why God sent his Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So you're under condemnation. You're under the wrath of God abides upon you because you're a sinner. And you remain in that state, you'll go to a lost eternity when you leave this world. But you don't have to go there. Tell God, agree with him that you are a sinner, that you've sinned, that you're deeply sorry and grieved for his dear Son having to suffer and bleed and die and shed his blood, his innocent blood, for you, so you wouldn't have to bear the punishment that you deserve. Call upon his name to save you, to give you eternal life. And then live for him when you do. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen? Amen. Well, thank you, and God bless you all, and I hope to see you again soon.
Thank you again for tuning in. You can find our podcasts on Apple Podcasts and anywhere else you find podcasts. We'd love for you to join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 81 Foundry Village Road, Coleraine, Massachusetts. If you have any questions or inquiries, please feel free to call the church at 413-624-8886. Hope to see you soon. God bless.